bum 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 bum. Do you know this bass line? I think I don't even have to sing it very well, and I'm guessing quite a number of you already recognize it. Do you know where it comes from, though? If your first guess is Ice Ice Baby, you were by Vanilla Ice, you were born a bit after me, and you are wrong. This famous line of music comes from Queen in the song Under Pressure. And if you're wondering how music of the band Queen might relate to following Jesus, let me just invite you to stay tuned. Let's pray before we dive in. God, as we consider your word, help us learn today. Help us grow today. Help us remember that we are loved today. Help us reflect on how we love others today. Amen. In the early 1980s, the band Queen was up in the Swiss mountains working on an album. Tough life, right? As it turns out, musician David Bowie happened to be there recording at the same time. One night, they were jamming together for fun when the bassist from Queen laid down the line that I hummed through a moment ago, a line that's actually now famous in several songs. David Bowie and Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen, they began just like bouncing off each other, producing lyrics on the fly, and what emerged was one of the greatest pop songs of all time, Under Pressure. If you're not a Queen fan, you may not agree, so you'll just have to, you know, like take this 80s kid word for it. Certainly the music grabbed the attention of rock music fans at the time, and if you've ever wondered if God can work through a rock band, let me invite you to just listen to a portion of the lyrics. Feel free to sing along at home if you know the tune for the lines that I'm sharing, although I'm actually just going to read them. It says, pressure, pressing down on me, pressing down on you, no man asks for. Under pressure, that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on the streets, ba, ba, ba. Sorry, a little carried away there, and I know I'm not doing it justice. Anyway, the lyrics go on, and they say this. It's the terror of knowing what this world is about, watching some good friends screaming, let me out. The music is fun, but I think this song connected with an entire generation and remained a rock classic because it names the tensions and stresses and pressures of life. It names something that we feel, right? We all feel sometimes like the pressure and the tensions of life are too much. We've all sometimes seen our friends just overwhelmed, just wanting the tension to lift in their lives, wanting out. And this song reminds us that we're not alone. And you know, we don't like tension, right? We do what we can to avoid it. The next part of the song, it actually captures this. It says, turned away from it all like a blind man. Sat on a fence, but it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn. Why? 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 I'd sing that part, but it would be a true insult to the legacy of Freddie Mercury. Right? We want to avoid tension. In fact, our picture of the ideal life, right? It's one that's free of pressure and stress and tension. Sometimes we think if we just withdraw a bit, if we avoid stressful situations, if we turn a blind eye, we'll feel better. And the truth is, that can work for a time. And sometimes we think if we just stay out of the tensions of the world, of the news, of politics, we just don't talk about it. If we avoid those who see the world differently than we do, if we sit on the fence and don't jump into the tensions around us, we'll feel better. And again, that too can work for a time. But the truth is, we can't avoid the challenges and injustices and tensions of our world, let alone our lives. Just avoiding doesn't solve anything in our world. In fact, as people of faith, we realize that the very words of Jesus speak a tension between the world as it is, our lives as we live them now, and the world as God intends it to be, the lives Jesus calls us to live. So much of the tension lies between the way the world is and the way the world should be, the way our lives are and the way we desire our lives to be. Right? The teaching and preaching of Jesus, it names these tensions. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus addresses his disciples and followers, and this is what Matthew says. It says, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples. The legal experts and the Pharisees, Jesus says, sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, you must take care to do everything they say, but don't do what they do. For they tie together heavy packs that are impossible to carry. They put them on the shoulders of others, but are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do to be noticed by others. They make extra wide prayer bands for their arms and long tassels for their clothes. They love to sit in places of honor at banquets and in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with honor in the markets and to be addressed as rabbi. Notice that Jesus isn't addressing the actual Pharisees when he says this. He's not accusing them directly. He's actually speaking to his followers, and he's inviting them to see how easy it is to fall into living toward the world's values, defining success as being above others, being worthy of attention, being in the prominent seat at the table. He's addressing the tensions we feel when we try to live into what the world wants us to be, rich and successful and prominent. After he says this, Jesus repeats a line that he says again and again to his followers. But the one who is greatest among you will be your servant. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, but all who make themselves low will be lifted up. Now, I don't know about you, but I like Bible stories that make us feel good. You know, like, be the light of the world. That's uplifting. I can do that. Or love one another. Makes sense. Seems like something I can do more of. Less comfortable are the stories where Jesus' words create tension, where they're really challenging. Right? And that's what happens next in Matthew 23. In fact, Jesus says again and again in the rest of the chapter, how terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites. And each time he says it, Jesus lists another way that they have ignored the words of God's teaching or used the words of God's teaching for personal gain and prominence and position and instead of for increasing God's kingdom. When we read or hear these words, I think we want Jesus to be talking to somebody else, right? That would make this easier. Using Matthew 23 and just saying, well, that's about people who are being like the Pharisees. But Jesus isn't judging others here. He's asking his followers to examine their own lives. He's lamenting how God's people have so twisted the faith that the society and culture look nothing like the kingdom God desires and offers. He's challenging his followers. He's challenging us. You see, the question Matthew invites us to ask is not, are we hypocrites? We are hypocrites, all of us. In some way or another, all of us say we follow Jesus, but we sin and we give in to thinking that success is defined by status and role and wealth. And we all fall short of being all in for Jesus despite saying that that's what we desire. So the question isn't whether we're hypocrites. The question is whether we're brave enough to confront our own hypocrisy, brave enough to name the tension between how we are and how Jesus calls us to be. Followers of Jesus aren't afraid to name and face the tensions of living a Christ-centered life. Right? Followers of Jesus aren't afraid of the pressure or the tension because we know that the tensions and pressures of life invite us to examine and live our faith more deeply. Have you ever been rock climbing? If so, you know that to safely climb, someone holds a line that's called a belay. The belay line runs from somebody holding it through a pulley and then clips onto your climbing harness. The idea is that if you slip and fall, the belay line will hold you up, can even be used to pull you up to safety. Now, for the belay line to work, though, the line has to hold tension. There has to be tension for the line to support your weight and pull you to safety when needed. In fact, part of the job of the person who is belaying you is to keep tension in the rope. If you get cocky and climb up thinking you're in control and you don't need your belay and the tension comes out of the line and you let slack build there, if you slip, you'll be in trouble. You see, I think we think of tension as negative, but tension, it doesn't have to be negative. Tension can show us what's supporting us. Tension can pull us to safety. Tension exists between where we are and where we could be. Tension exists in our lives when our current lives are not as God intended for us, where the world around us isn't as God intended. And if we ignore the tension, if we ignore what Jesus teaches, we ignore what God desires for us. Right? It would be a lot easier to say, well, poverty and hunger are about the choices people make, so I'm not responsible for poverty and hunger in the world. But the tensions that we see in our world, crime and prison systems and hunger, they come from a gap between the world as it is and the world as God intends, where we're all are cared for. To ignore the tension is to ignore the biblical vision of God's people blessed to be a blessing and let Jesus pull us toward that. It'd be a lot easier to say, well, I'm not racist, so I don't want to engage in conversations about racism, to ignore the tensions of race relations in our country today. But the tension in our country comes from a gap between the world as it is and the world as God intends it to be. Right? A gap between everybody being loved and people being oppressed and not provided with opportunity. To ignore that tension is to ignore God's tug toward a better tomorrow for all of God's children. It'd be easier to say, I just want to ignore the tension in our political conversations today. I've done that, right? But the tension comes when how we see and treat other people and treat each other in political conversations is different than how God invites us to see and treat each other as children of God. To turn a blind eye or ignore this tension is to avoid God's invitation to build stronger and Christ-centered community. It would be easier to say that I am powerless to overcome a sin in my own life, to avoid the tension that it's causing for me or for my family, but the tension and stress of life come from the gap between thinking I can do it on my own and knowing that I need God's help. Right? The tension comes from the gap between a worldview that says sin defines me and a faith view that lets God's love and grace define me. God invites us to name the tension so we can see that Jesus pulls us toward another way. So what if instead of seeing the tensions of our lives as inherently bad, we embraced the tension as a time to look at where God is pulling us, how God's desire for us is different than the current reality? What if times of pressure and tension in our lives become times to reevaluate what matters most to God and to us? In Matthew's gospel in chapter 12, tension arises between Jesus and the Pharisees about Sabbath keeping. It says this: at that time, Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they were picking heads off of the wheat and eating them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath law." According to Pharisees, right, this simple act of breaking the tops off the wheat was defined as work and thus in violation of the Sabbath rules. And so they challenge Jesus and he responds, right? You can feel him. He's speaking into this tension between how we see the world. He says, "Haven't you read what David did when he and those with him were hungry? He went into God's house and broke the law by eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple treat the Sabbath as any other day and are still innocent?" Right? So after Jesus says this, a short time later, Matthew tells us that the tension flares up again, this time around healing on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, this time they question the legality of healing on the Sabbath. So Jesus says this, says, "Who among you has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath and will not take hold of it and pull it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? So the law allows a person to do what is good on the Sabbath." Then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he did, and it was made healthy, just like the other one. And then Matthew says the Pharisees went out and met in order to find a way to destroy Jesus. They didn't like his answer. You'll notice, right, in this, that the tension doesn't go away, but Jesus, he leans into the tension to teach God's way. The way forward is to remind his followers of what matters most, feeding people and healing people. How do we navigate the tensions and pressures of the world and our lives today? Sure, we could withdraw. We could avoid. We could hide. But Jesus invites us to see where the world as it is isn't as it could be with his love, and then to let the teachings and values of our faith pull us toward God, toward Jesus, toward salvation. Right? To live a life following Jesus, it doesn't free us from pressure or worry or tension in the world. In fact, following Jesus will lead us into the tensions where our lives and our world don't reflect the kingdom of God. And we'll see and be moved by the sinfulness of our own lives. We'll see and be moved by the tension of racism and oppression. We'll see and be moved by the tensions of poverty and hunger. But it's in this tension that while some will walk away, followers of Jesus will embrace it and let the love of Jesus pull us through that tension into God's kingdom. Because followers of Jesus aren't afraid to name and face the tensions of living a Christ-centered life. Each day this week, we're going to read some passages that likely will challenge us, some words of Jesus that speak to the tension of our lives and in our world. Our FaithFit challenge for Lent continues this week at Clay Church as you're invited to read from the Bible each day, to let the words speak to you and to let them challenge you and to spend some time with the daily question to help you reflect on what following Jesus looks like and means to you. You'll find the readings for the week at claychurch.com/Lent or on our Facebook page each day, or you can sign up for them via the app as well. Just a bit ago, I suggested that I think God can speak to us in all kinds of ways, including the lyrics of a rock anthem. Let me invite you to listen to how Under Pressure ends. It says, love, 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 love. Insanity laughs under pressure. We're cracking. Why can't we give love one more chance? Why can't we give love one more chance? Why can't we give love? Give love, give love, give love, give love, give love, give love, give love. For love is an old-fashioned word, and love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night, and love dares you to change our way of caring about ourselves. Are you under pressure, feeling tension? Let's give love one more chance. Let's ask God to show us the gap between what is and what could be, and let the love of Jesus pull us toward what could be with God. Amen.